Welcome to the Kindling's Muse podcast.
Hi, this is Dick Staub with another in our Journeys series, conversations with thoughtful creatives and cultural influencers on their life, work, and personal journey. Today, a conversation with the late Mike Iaconelli. Well, welcome back, everybody. This is Dick Staub, and I want to thank you for joining me. Our next guest has been coloring outside the lines for a long time. He is the former editor of The Door, one of the founders of that magazine. It used to be called The Wittenberg Door. He's the owner and co-founder of Youth Specialties, which has had a tremendous impact on how we do youth ministry in this culture. He's also the author of several books. By his own confession in this book, he is the pastor of the slowest growing church in America, which is a contrast to many guests who trot their stuff out in the public arena. And he's also an advocate of what he calls messy spirituality. And he's written a book by the same title. It is published by Zondervan, Messy Spirituality, God's Annoying Love for Imperfect People. And it is great to have you with us.
Hey, thank you, man. Glad to be here.
You start out by saying 45 years following Jesus and your life is a mess.
Yeah, the subtitle of the book was going to be Christianity for the Rest of Us.
Yeah.
And the reason I put that there is because I was so tired of reading religious books and hearing religious speakers tell me how perfect they were. And I would end up hearing a sermon or reading a book or going to some religious meeting. And at the end of the meeting, I felt worse than when I got there because they had it all together. They had it all figured out. Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm almost 60. I've had 5 children. And let me tell you, I don't have life figured out yet. In fact, when I was 18, I knew everything.
You and I are in the same place in that sense. I mean, I used to really have the answers for a lot of stuff. And now, you know, I'm 54. I've got, kids in process and some finishing school. And one of the wonderful things about life is being able to get to the place where you realize not only don't you have the answers, you don't even have to, which is kind of a bit of a relief for anybody raised in the 60s. We were going to change the world. Now we're just trying to change our socks regularly is what's happening. How did your journey get started? You've done a lot of really interesting, some people would say quirky, some people would say radical, some people would even say, terrible things. I mean, not everybody loves The Door. Where did your spiritual journey get started?
Well, I think I've always been out of place. I think I've always been odd. I think I've always been different. In fact, I'm convinced that's a spiritual gift. You know, Hemingway was asked what makes a great writer, and he said it's somebody with a built-in crap detector. And I think I suddenly discovered my spiritual gift, which is exactly that. So I've always been kind of on the outside.
Were you born in a Christian home?
No, my folks were converted when I was like 11 years old.
Where was that?
And in Orange County.
Oh, man. Whereabouts?
And, right there in Anaheim.
Oh, man. I was in Fullerton. I can't believe it. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I went to Anaheim High School.
Fullerton High School here.
And my folks, had this incredible conversion, just turned around. And I did, too. I mean, at 11 years old, I can remember the night I became a Christian. And, man, this weight came off of me and all that kind of stuff. What I didn't realize was that was just the beginning of a huge journey. And the older I've got, the less I know about God. And yet, the more... Well, that's why I put annoying love in the subtitle of this book, because if somebody were to say to me, Mike, why are you a Christian? Well, it's not because of the Bible. I'm sorry. I mean, I like the Bible. I believe in the Bible. And what I like about the Bible is it tells the truth. You know, what happened when I went to church was they edited out all the stuff in the Bible so that when I heard the story of Noah, I was always just thrilled to hear about this
the
man
boat
who
and
believed
the rainbow.
In God. And yeah, the only guy who believed in God. They didn't mention that when he got off the boat, he got drunk and got naked. Now, they never told that. Thank God they didn't put that on a flannel graph, but I'm here to tell you that I never heard that story.
So the theology that you were raised in and the faith into which you were introduced was not messy. It was the idea is until you met Jesus, things are messy, and now you've met Jesus and things are going to be straight.
They're going to be great. You're going to be fixed. You're going to be perfect.
What was the point at which you realized that this was not going to work for Mike Iaconelli? That there was some dissonance between what you understood the truth to be and what you were being raised in?
Well, the beginnings of it happened when my daughter got cancer. She was 18 months old.
And you were how old by this point?
I was 30.
So until your 30s, you were pretty much in the game?
Oh, totally. I was trying. I mean, I was a little bit outside it, but I always felt guilty about it. Felt like it was something wrong with me.
Yeah.
And at that point, when my daughter got cancer and she was 18 months old and I had all these Christian people who were wonderful people and they meant well, came to me and told me, why God was doing it. And even if she died, she'd be with God. And isn't that better? And I'm thinking, no, not really.
Yeah.
And I'm struggling with this whole thing. That was the beginning of this sort of crack in my faith where I realized there's more to God than just fixing people. There's more to God. I'm praying my brains out. Nothing's happening.
So what did you do with that? You've got this new revelation, and you're in the subculture. You're surrounded by well-meaning people who are marching to a beat of the same drummer, and you're suddenly realizing not only are they marching to a beat of a different drummer, but I suspect that the drummer that they're listening to isn't actually a true tone. I mean, there's something more here. What do you do with that?
Well, first of all, I was attracted to writers. I began to read. I wasn't a reader.
Really?
I just didn't read.
You got a bunch of great quotes in this book.
And I started reading, and I became a voracious reader, and I realized, hey, well, you know what? I'm not alone.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing was that I became incredibly lonely. I mean, I think that when you follow Christ, one of the things that happens when you start listening to his voice is that you really are alone. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I know there's the church, and I know there's the community of God, and that's all great. But really, when you go to bed at night, you go, am I crazy? I mean, is this really true?
Yeah,
And, you know? And so that began that kind of journey. The next thing that happened was when I was 50, and I read a book by Henry Nouwen called In the Name of Jesus. And I'm one of these guys, and when I read a book by somebody that really impresses me, I call him up and ask him if I can come see him. Most of them tell me no. Nouwen said, sure, come on. He pastored a group of 140 mentally challenged people.
Yeah.
So I went and spent a week with him. At the end of the week, I discovered a word I'd never known in all of my years of being a Christian. That was the word intimacy. Mm-hmm. I had no clue that you could be intimate with God. And the person that taught me the real meaning of intimacy was not Henry Nouwen, this great teacher at Harvard and Yale and Notre Dame and all that. It was a little guy by the name of John Bloss, who was 40 years old, who had a 100-word vocabulary. And after a small group meeting where I had said I was too busy, because, you know, busyness is the biggest sin in America. It's not pornography. It's not abortion. It's busyness. And I was wiped out and burned out, and I told everybody that. After it was over, John comes up to me, and when you're mentally challenged, you have no sense of space. He's right in my face, and he goes, busy. And I go, well, yeah, John, yeah, I am. I'm being very patronizing. I don't expect anything from John. You know, he's got 100-word vocabulary. What can he teach me? And he goes, too busy. I said, well, John, you're absolutely right. I'm too busy. You know, again, I'm being very patronizing. And he got right up next to my face, and he went, why? And I started crying. Because for the first time in my life, I realized why. John was the only guy who could ask me that question. He wasn't afraid to ask me the one question I couldn't ask. And the reason I was busy is because I believed if I kept busy, then God would love me. And it was at that point that the grace of God became so real to me. And I began to realize that this isn't about me following Jesus. You know, I mentioned in my book that I always have this dream that I'm going to be with a bunch of people following Jesus, and he's going to turn around and he's going to look straight at me, and he's going to wave his hand to come up to him, and I'm going to start walking toward him, and he goes, no, not you, the guy behind you. I've always had this sense that, you know, I just don't make it. I don't measure up. And John Bloss taught me that the grace of God is what this is all about, and it's extravagant, it's wild, it's dangerous, it's unpredictable, it's you can't put it in a category. And that began this kind of wild ride with God.
Join us again next time for more conversation with the late Mike Iaconelli. Thank you for listening to Journeys on the Kindling's Muse. Thank you for listening to the Kindling's Muse. If this program sparks something in you, I invite you to participate at www.thekindlings.com. That's KINDLINGS. Share this program, tell a friend, or just leave a comment at www.thekindlings.com.